At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el centro, Messi.
Messi Anko, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's el campeón. Leo my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, always wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the trio Fabi singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki-taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko. Estate listo pa' Messi Anko.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special, I would say midweek, but beginning of week episode of Messi and Co. And the whole crew is back together to talk about a lot of stuff. So I am here, your co-host, Ashley, here with my incredible other co-hosts, Gian and Matt. Guys, happy Monday. What a time to be an Inter Miami fan. How we feeling?
Is this a Monday? Is the new Friday type of day?
Oh, we got has to be.
Rodrigo de Paul in. We got the game against Cincy. We got League's Cup coming up. We got some deals possibly happening. Like, what? How are we feeling, guys? I need to know the vibe here.
I'm feeling real good. I don't know about you guys, but it looks like you guys too. Maybe I'm feeling real good. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about today. A lot of fun topics, controversial stuff going on lately. I feel like we're always in controversy. Actually, lately, what am I talking about? Like, there's always controversy around us, but that's part of being the best team in the league. That's what we signed up for, bringing Messi. So I'm happy to talk about it.
The crown is heavy. The crown is heavy. That's what they say. But yeah, I totally agree. And I'm also just like on a personal high because I went to New York this past weekend and saw a Blackpink concert. I don't know if many of our fans or people who listen know who Blackpink is, but just know it brought me a lot of joy, and their colors are black and pink. And so I felt like I was surrounded at an Inter Miami game because there was so much, and it's like the same shade of pink. So it was funny.
A band? Is that a person or like a group?
It's a K-pop group.
You said black and K-pop. Pink.
Cool. Were there translators?
They speak English. So they speak English. Some of the songs just have like Korean like lyrics mixed in with English lyrics.
You mind singing this one?
You want me to sing one? No, I think we're still working on Spanish currently. I'm excited. And it was a busy weekend outside of my plans, which was that Lionel Messi and Jordi Alba were unavailable to play versus FC Cincinnati in what was, you know, a game with a lot of intensity and excitement surrounding it after knowing, you know, that they kind of beat our butts the week before. We were bouncing back. We had all these good things coming. And they did not attend the All-Star game on Wednesday. So for that, they were suspended for the match. Now, before we get into the match, I think we should just talk about the suspension and just kind of like the overall vibes of really what happened. Gian and I did kind of a little space that day right before the All-Star game, a Twitter space where we got some really fun interactions and people, good friends like Xavier from Lemon City, and then obviously Fabian Rankel, who's a big journalist in the MLS, having a good range of opinions, which I thought some fair, some, you know, harsh. But in the end, because they didn't play, they were suspended. MLS kept to their rules. What are we thinking?
Can I go first on this one? Because yeah. I think it's.
I don't get it, guys.
I don't get it. Like, what else does Messi have to do for the league? Like, I think the league, personally, I think the MLS is just so butthurt that they can't sell an MLS All-Star jersey with Messi's name on the back. And so, like, they're just like, you know what? Let's suspend him too. I think, honestly, I say this because I think the MLS could have just given Messi a pass. I think Messi has done already so much for the league in terms of generating the money, attraction, like whatever it is, that he sells stadiums out everywhere. And all Messi wanted was just a rest day. All Messi wanted was just a rest day. He's been playing week in, week out, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Wednesday, Saturday, back to back for weeks on end. And all he wanted was a rest day. And Jordi Alba, all he wanted was a rest day. And they try to get one, and they get punished for it against the best team, one of the best teams of the Eastern Conference at Chase Stadium. And I don't know. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And I think the rule in general, not because it's just Messi, but I think the rule in general is just crazy. I don't like MLS All-Star games. I don't like All-Star games in general. I think it's stupid, especially in the middle of the season. It's a huge health risk for any player, any athlete in any sport, not just in soccer. Losing Messi was huge. Losing Messi was huge for us. I think if we would have had him on Saturday, we definitely could have won. But at the end of the day, the team ended up holding their own. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think that rule needs to be looked over. I think the whole MLS All-Star thing needs to be looked over and reviewed.
Well, let's start with, first of all, the All-Star game is a stupid concept. It's just idiotic.
Yeah.
To start off with.
Or at least when it happens, it's idiotic. I think the idea of celebrating the best is nice. And they just haven't figured out, and across all sports, like, the best All-Star game that exists right now in the world is baseball, because it's pretty much, it's a home run derby. Like, it's things where the risk of injury is very low. And so like, that makes it more interesting. I do think there should be a way to celebrate the All-Stars and do something fun with the fans, but and I'll let you go in a second, Gian. I just want to say, like, it's just this model in this way, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I agree.
Well, baseball, I mean, it's hard to get injured anyways in a regular game. Like, what do you do in baseball anyways? As far as like All-Star games, I think it's stupid. The NFL, even in basketball and in the NFL, they think it's so stupid that in the NFL they actually play flag football, which is idiotic as well. And then in basketball, it's a glorified layup line. Like, they don't even actually play deep. Like, the All-Star game, I think, maybe started off as a good concept, even in basketball, when it was East-West. Okay, things were kind of different when Jordan was around, Kobe was around, Wade was around. Like, things have changed. And I think things have changed across all spectrums of all sports, where there's even more money involved. Players are making more money. There's more money with TV deals, sponsorships,
there's
and all that stuff.
There's more games, like, volume of games.
Yeah, even in the NBA, they added another tournament, an in-game tournament. Here we've got, in MLS, we've got US Open Cup, for those that actually play that now. We've got Leagues Cup, which is a made-up money-grab tournament now. We've got FIFA Club World Cup. Like, it's just, there's no room for MLS All-Star game right now. It doesn't make sense. And in reality, it goes against everything that is football. I feel like that's like MLS talks about how they want to be or grow to be one of the biggest leagues in the world. And if they aspire to do that, well, maybe try mimicking what other leagues do as well. Like, it's just, they try to cater too much to the US public, where I think that is taking away from their grander or larger goal, which again is to be a bigger league. That's number one. The MLS All-Star game is stupid. It shouldn't exist. The second part is MLS made the MLS schedule. They knew that there was a FIFA Club World Cup. It's not like the FIFA Club World Cup came out of nowhere. They knew that existed. They knew teams could go far into that. Inter Miami, a team
they knew
that
they had five playing
the group stage. Yeah. They had Club World Cup. Yep. They made it out of the group stage. They went to the quarter, I think it was the quarterfinal, around the round of 16 quarterfinals. Then they come out of that, they play five games in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, they play five games. They play a game 2 days before or 3 days before the All-Star game. Then after the All-Star game, they're supposed to play another game in 3 days. And then 3 days later, they play Leagues Cup. Like, who are the idiots in MLS that are making the schedule and say, okay, this is a perfect time to put this All-Star game? That's point number two. Point number three, even Don Garber, before he announced, when they were already asking him, is Messi going to be suspended, he went on a whole discourse about how we need to understand how the Inter Miami has played a ton of games, that Messi has to rest, that this and that. I thought he was setting up to come up with an excuse to not suspend Messi. He laid out the reasons why Messi didn't play. Mm-hmm. And then he goes and still suspends him. How idiotic is that? And now there's discourse around the league and around other fans, and especially from these idiotic Cincinnati fans. Like, no one's above the league. No one, you know, if Messi has to be bound by the rules. I'm like, bro, you know how many millions of people didn't give a shit about this league before Messi even arrived? Like, be real. Messi is above the league. Like, the whole reason Messi is here is
but that's exactly why they suspended him, because they didn't want Messi to be like this bigger or above the league.
And also, trying to gatekeep a league for no reason. Like, honestly, nobody gave a shit about this league 2.5 years ago. Well, let me not speak in absolutes. Millions of people. You want this league to grow? It's in your best interest. Don't pretend like this was some amazing league before Messi came. Oh, you know, we were here and we were doing great before Messi. And then they show like half empty stadiums. Like, nah, man. Messi is here. If you want the team to grow and this league to grow, you need players to start coming. You have players that are young guys. Instead of going to play in Mexico, instead of going to play in smaller Premier League teams, they're coming here to grow before they go to Europe. You have guys in their prime like De Paul playing at age 31 in Atletico Madrid coming over. These are things that if Messi wasn't here, if the spotlight wasn't here, these players would not be coming here. Messi is making it okay, not as an embarrassment to come to MLS, not a let me wait till I'm retired to come to MLS. He's making it okay and acceptable by the world of football players to actually come here and play. This is how it begins, guys. 5-10 years from now, if this continues and we build on this, we're going to have players that are able to come here. So at the end of the day,
think about like, the infrastructure of other teams. I think, Gian, that's such a great point. And it was also the first sentence you said. You said, what else do you want Messi to do? Like put him in a clown suit and walk around and like read an English dictionary. Like, what else are you asking him that you will make you, like, American fans, MLS fans, feel better? Because let me tell you something, and I promise, even if I wasn't a South Florida resident, I feel this way because you see greatness. The way he is playing 90 minutes every single match is such an honor to the league, and the way the revenue he is bringing to the league that gets distributed to all of the teams so that they can invest in their youth and their infrastructure, and they're getting new soccer fans that are now young players playing soccer and, you know, meeting new people in their community. I'm sure you see now American kids wearing Messi jerseys. Then you meet, you know, other people, et cetera. Like, what he does for the league, what he's doing for the infrastructure, what he's doing for every single club. And more than that, he's not doing it by name. He's doing it by how he plays on the field. He's doing it with, like, how his job. He's doing his job amazing. He had 16 goal contributions in the previous 7 games against some of the best competition in the league and in the world. He is playing 33 goal contributions. Like, you're it's not someone he's in his twilight. He's not doing that much. He's just kicking the ball around, only playing 60 minutes.
He's not here for the check.
Games, no. You know, like, your MLS is getting viral clips. People are going and filling stadiums with their team jerseys now, because they're like, wow, now I want to support my team and watch. And it's because of Messi, and the disrespect that people are showing it for this is so, to me, unbelievable, because he's putting it every single game, is giving 100%. Isn't that better than giving 50% and coming to a few events? Like, what do you want?
This could have been avoided. Number one, with the scheduling, that could have been avoided. And number two, with it's a stupid rule, and rules can be broken. I'm sorry. And if there was ever a time to break the rule, like, it was now. Even Mascherano said in the press conference, and I 100% agree with him.
Yeah. Say it.
If this game was an away game at Cincinnati, do you really think they would have suspended him? Hell no. They would have figured out a way to interpret the rule differently, to say, you know, actually, we did excuse it. They would have made
or Kansas anything. City, and they sold out Arrowhead Stadium.
And he would have played. He would have played 100%. Yeah. But because it was a home game, they could have done anything. They could have even changed it and maybe figured out a way to suspend him later or fine him.
They would have fined him.
Like anything they could have done. But it's a ridiculous rule. It needs to be changed, and they need to do better with scheduling. If they want people, and because it's not just a Messi, it goes for across the board. These are guys, some of these guys played in the All-Star game and were playing on Friday. They were already having
games. I was literally about to say, because I know you mentioned Cincinnati fans, I say this and I mean it with the exact same intensity and truthfulness. I think Evander, Hani Mukhtar should not have been in them either, because imagine how their fans would feel if he picks up a knock because he gets, you know, a Sergio Ramos tackle, because Sergio Ramos plays at an intensity that is, et cetera. What if one of them got a tackle in the match on Wednesday, and then now you've lost? What if Berhalter? What if he gets an injury? You know, what if, et cetera? Why would you want that? Like, I don't want that for Cincinnati. I would have rather play Evander, and knowing he didn't play Wednesday and he was healthy, even though he beat us a week before, because that's like, I want the best to be available in the competition all season long. And so it's not just this, I feel this way about Messi. It's all of the players cannot put their bodies in the precarious position. And it's really unfortunate. And again, I really think it's a disservice, because it sounds silly to be like, you should be grateful that Messi's playing. I don't mean it like that. I mean, you should be grateful for the reason and the way he plays and why he plays. He does it for the right reasons, and he's teaching it the right reasons. And because of that, right here in our home soil in America on MLS, week after week, match after match, you're seeing amazing soccer. And that is what you want. So to be upset about it, I think is crazy. If you don't think he's doing everything and more, and he's living up to all of his promises for MLS, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. He's the best. Right now, he makes a starting 11 for maybe not out of the whole world and all European clubs. Maybe five, he doesn't make it the starting 11. That's it. He could play right now 17 of the 20 Premier League teams he would start for. You know, like I'd say probably 17 of the La Liga teams he would start for. Outside of maybe Bayern Munich, etc., he would start for. So, like, put some perspective. You know what I mean? Like, have some perspective when you're thinking about that. He's playing that right now in MLS week in, week out, and he will Wednesday again. So
it's tough. It's tough when you don't have him on his team. A lot of envy out there that really, unfortunately, takes out the common sense out of people. A lot of anger, envy. I don't, you know, it's just, dude, like, sometimes just look at things with a calm head and understand, like, you want it. It works. Him being here helps the entire league. It even helps your team. It'll help your team, because 100%. What Inter is doing, what their owners are doing, the fact that they're going out there and spending all this amount of money, I think, should light a fire under your owners,
parks, new youth setup, all of that right there. Going to generate thousands of jobs, interest, young people getting to go play soccer and do great activities.
Other teams should mimic exactly what Inter Miami is doing. And if they do, I promise you this league will grow. If they do everything that the Mas brothers are doing, everything. And they're following the rules. And you know, just because you don't understand how the roster rules work, and you don't understand what a DP is, and you don't understand what GAM and TAM is, okay, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do. But just because you don't understand it doesn't mean you need to come out here and say these idiotic things about, you know, Miami's breaking the rules. And that's no. Take a few minutes, go on to Google. You can search them, and you can see there's exactly a way to how Inter Miami is doing this. And it is what it is. Maybe your owners will do it too someday.
Hopefully, I just hate getting
improved for the MLS overall, so that all stars get their deserved appreciation, fans get their moment, but it doesn't come at a cost of an injury or an unnecessary, you know, overworking of these guys.
Or literally putting it halfway through the season, where, like, right in between Club World Cup and Leagues Cup and almost three weeks of nonstop MLS soccer action. But I just hate, and I'll end it on this note. I just hate as Inter Miami. I hate as Messi Inter Miami fans. I hate how we get punished for one, just doing the right thing. Like we're playing by the rules. We're not breaking rules. We're not doing anything crazy. We're
people who believe and who are going for it.
We just have a great board. We have fantastic players. We have we have a great mindset, a great future that, and we have a lot of experience that backs our club. We are trying to start a revolution and in how MLS clubs should approach their philosophies, their signings, their tactics, like all of that, and we get punished for it. And we have the best player in the world in Messi playing out of his mind at 37 years old, 38 years old, however old he is now, and we still get punished for it. Like they just don't want to see us succeed. Yeah. And they can just forever keep on hating because we're just going to keep on winning.
I'll give two. I want to get into the game really quick about, because I know Matt was there in person. And so I want to get a perspective on the game because, you know, I think that the team deserves credit for having to work through the noise, obviously, of what was of a week. But I want to give two really quick kind of like comparisons, because, again, I can understand how people are like, well, you all three of you live in Miami and he's on your team. So, and you've had a team for 5 years, so you can say, you know, whatever. Look at Manchester United, a team that for however many 20, 30 years with Sir Alex Ferguson was the greatest soccer team in the world and won things and created these amazing stories and these players and et cetera. And then they got an ownership group who decided to stop investing in their community and chasing being the best. And look at where they are now. You know, like, imagine if David Beckham got to be an owner at Manchester United instead of here, and brought with him like the drive and the energy and the desire, just the passion. It's missing. And so, and then my other example is LeBron James. LeBron James has never once participated in the NBA All-Star Dunk Contest. He's been asked every year. Been in the league, what is this year, 22? I think something like that. Just
a long time.
I'll ask you this, Gian, because I know you definitely have a lot of history with basketball. Would you trade 1 minute of the last 22 years of LeBron James greatness for him to have participated in a dunk contest and tore his ACL?
No, not at all. And what's funny is with LeBron, I guess it's a good comparison too for Messi, because even those that like hated Bron for many years, I think now it's like, okay, this, you understand that there's greatness and you know that greatness is coming to an end. And you're like, you know, even though I maybe hated this guy because he tore my team apart for 20 years, I'm going to appreciate the last 2-3 years because this is a moment in history I'll be able to talk about and we'll probably never witness something like this again. And I feel like that's a parallel to what's happening with Messi now. Like even those that maybe didn't like Messi, maybe they were, you know, their teams were on the opposite end of the Barcelona shellacking that they were not teams at that time. Like this is a time where it's like, we may never see another player like Messi again. Maybe appreciate the last few years. So there is a parallel between Bron and James in that sense. Yeah. Like, it's coming to an end, bittersweet, but just like Bron, man, these two guys somehow they're still playing amazing. Like at this,
and LeBron never did the dunk contest. He's like, I don't want to risk myself. I don't want to risk it. And you know what? Like, look at what we got to witness for 23 years for it. And I think it's important to think about that. But so,
yeah, for all you basketball fans, you make sure to like and subscribe.
Yeah, please do it, because we also on the channel we have Five on the Floor, which is a phenomenal podcast about the Miami Heat and the NBA. So we look at the merging and intersection of sports and sports fans. That's also part of what Messi is doing for MLS and for America, right? Like it's a whole new culture and a whole new side of sports that people weren't really familiar with. So I think it's cool. I think we've given our perspective on this. I think, you know, we've given good points. I'd be more than interested if people had counterpoints, other statistics, other things to think about. Comment, let us know. I think it will be one of those things that there will always be people on both sides of the coin. But for now, we move And we start Leagues Cup, but we did have to play that game on Saturday against Cincinnati, and the vibes I imagined before were a little nervous because we knew we didn't have two of our best players playing. But Matt, tell us about it. Ended in a 0-0 draw and an important point.
Yeah, I mean, so the game was, honestly, I thought the game was fantastic. It was very entertaining for an Inter Miami fans. I think all the diehard fans could really appreciate a game like that. No Messi, nor Jordi Alba. There was obviously a lot of worry, a lot of fear that the team would get destroyed like how we did last time, 3-0 away from home. And but no, I thought Inter Miami with a lack of two of their best players playing Benkak Rimaski in a position he's never played before, seeing Fafa Biko get a start, which I feel like is the first time that we've ever seen happen. I thought we played great, and we played against the number one. We did play against the number one team in the East. They moved down to second now after the tie. And we were able to hold them down. They got a lot of opportunities to score against us. We defended well. We had a lot of opportunities to score. They defended well. It was a great back and forth game, and Inter Miami should be proud of themselves. The fans should be proud of the performance that they put out without some of their best players. We have to give props to Benkak Rimaski, like I said, who I thought had a fantastic game playing in a position.
Suarez, I heard it was before. A lot of good playmaking.
Suarez was doing what he does game in and game out. I think what Suarez has been doing, like, literally he's been playing, I think, the same that he has been every time. I think people just don't notice it because Messi overshadows, or he's in the shadow of Messi.
Right.
And so people just don't really, not they don't pay attention, but they compare Suarez to what Messi's doing, or to how, I guess, bad the rest of the team is doing, and they kind of put blame on him. But I thought Suarez did fantastic. I thought Busi did great. I thought players like Lujan, who a lot of people hate,
goal line save,
did fine. He had a goal line save right in front of my eyes in the second half, and it was I thought everybody did their job. I thought everybody did their part. I thought Rocco had a couple of saves. I thought the team in general had a good performance without Messi, and I think that says a lot against a top team like Cincinnati, locking down Valenzuela, locking down Kamara, to what's his name, Evander, to, you know, to Orellano, who was giving us a tough time last time. Mm-hmm. We
jerseys faced against clean, we tell were, you that.
their defense is Robinson, Miazga, and it, like they're big guys, like they're huge guys.
Miles Robinson, I wish, and he could work his way into the U.S. men's roster.
Yeah, no, but it was good. I don't know what Gion thought about it, but I thought I'm happy with the effort put in. Obviously, I wish we could have gotten a win out of it, but I'm happy. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with the effort put in by the boys.
And the jerseys, they looked super clean.
Oh, the jerseys
on media. Clean. So
the jersey did look clean.
I actually got the jersey. I got
did
it.
You?
Yeah, it's really
I'm nice. Wearing right now. I mean, I don't know if you could tell. This is a shirt that they gave at one of the matches. So I don't know. We don't normally wear merch. I feel like, even though, I mean, we're not.
Wait,
we're a biased podcast. We're called a Messi and Co. So it's like we're allowed to.
Dude, they gave a shirt. So the one I miss is when they actually give a shirt out. I only get posters. Like
they gave a shirt out on Saturday. I think it was it. I don't know. I didn't get it, but they gave out a hat, and they gave out like a shirt, like a public shirt and a public's hat.
Yeah, it was the public's.
And I missed it.
There's a fire hat that I got that I really liked. It's I was gonna say black and pink, as if there's not a million hats that are black and pink.
Black and pink, exactly.
Black and pink, and it has like a logo on it.
Yeah. I'll just show you. I'll text you guys later.
But all right. Well, so then I agree. I think it showed good resilience, and I, you know, I don't think we need to spend too much time this episode talking about it. But Javier Mascherano, in my opinion, has gone back up in terms of being able to handle what was a difficult stretch. Showing maturity, showing class, obviously room for improvement. Time will tell. But, you know, and in a match like that, with knowing all the conversations behind it, you know, all the excitement toward what we were about to talk about, which was the introduction of Rodrigo de Paul. Still getting a good performance out of your players is important and shouldn't be forgotten. So overall, you know, more positive than a negative, I think. But the real positive, the real excitement was pre-match, because we saw for the first time the introduction of Argentine midfielder Rodrigo de Paul, who is one of the best midfielders in the world, one of Messi's very close personal friends, and someone who is hopefully going to take this team to an absolutely new level.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and show you guys now. I'm sorry for the
technical difficulties
here. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and hit play so we can watch that video real quick here. I guess I should probably put this up.
And then him walking on the fields was pretty cool. I thought when with his kids was a pretty cool moment. Keep going. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. Obviously that everyone was excited to see him. And it's just pretty amazing. Pretty amazing that Inter Miami have pulled this off.
It's honestly insane to get somebody like Rodrigo de Paul, two-time Copa America winner, World Cup winner, Finalissima winner, just spent the last 4 years at Atletico Madrid at the highest level, played Champions League games. Like, he is he's 31 years old. So, like, he's still, I don't want to say his prime, but he's still at, like, peak conditions. Like, he's still at peak level. And like what we talked about earlier, like Inter Miami are kind of breaking this threshold of like attracting players that are not just like coming like after the retirement. They're attracting certain players at their peak, like 31, you're at your peak nowadays in this game. And I know for a fact, even Rodrigo, if he signed a 4-year deal, and even if he doesn't stay the 4 years, like, let's say he only stays for 3 years, where he'll still like want to play after. He'll probably go back to like Argentina or something like after 3 or 4 years, and he'll still be able to play. And it's like, it's great. I think it's fantastic for the league. It's fantastic for Inter Miami. And having Rodrigo de Paul being implemented into this team is just exciting to think about. And I can't wait for that to happen. I can't wait to see it for the first time.
Yeah. I mean, we can't be naive. We also know that a big reason why he's here is because of Messi. But I still think that's important that he is here, because of the fact that him being here, again, just makes it more acceptable that you can be in your prime and you can be in MLS. And other players are going to see that. And other players are going to go and maybe not just come to Inter Miami, but go to other teams around the league, big teams, small teams, all around, because they're going to see that other players are doing it as well. That was the thing, that there was a shadow over MLS. I think still we're coming out of it, where it's like, yeah, if I'm in my prime, or if I'm looking to become, you know, the next Premier League player, La Liga player, there's no way I can go to MLS. Like, that's impossible. That's where I go to end my career, or that's where I go to just kind of be in the shadows and obscure, and nobody's going to see me. But now there are scouts from all over the world coming to see MLS, coming to see Inter Miami. So this is, I think, great. And, you know, I think growing the league is going to be incremental. It's not going to be from one day to tonight, but this is how it starts. So I think that's important. And also, I wanted to add one thing. I didn't get a chance to say anything about the game against Cincinnati, and I'll make it very brief. I really liked how the game flowed. I liked that the ball moved around more. I understand it was because Messi obviously wasn't there, but I thought that was a bright spot. The ball flowed very well. I loved Suarez taking on that playmaking role. He had some excellent passes going into the area, into Fafa. Mm-hmm. I loved having Fafa run up that left wing, Tadeu Allende running up that left wing. But one of the biggest things that I really enjoyed is, and I think this is probably the most underrated weapon that Inter Miami has, and it's Aviles. Toto Avilés, for me, is one of Inter Miami's most underrated offensive weapon. It sounds weird. He's a defender, but offensive weapon. Because when he is allowed to or encouraged to dribble the ball, he can take that first line of defense or, you know, whoever's that first line of the opponent, and he opens up a space. The moment he breaks a line, he has the ability to pass and put a through ball, and he did that a couple of times, and I've seen him do that before. And I think that that's something that Inter Miami doesn't have. We had quite a few of those from him and from others on the team that put through balls from our defensive line into our attackers who are making runs into space. I hadn't seen much of that before this game, and I loved it. So I just hope that when Messi comes back, we can still lean a little bit more into that, and that just opens the spaces and the options that Inter Miami has. So I really like that. It was a tie game, but I think it was one of the best games Inter Miami played for some time, in my opinion.
Yeah, good. I mean, I think it's great that we made the most of what was obviously a controversial, weird week for the team. We got the DePaul introduction. We got a good point. And look, you're seeing DePaul is, like you said, he's still in his prime, playing amazing. We're seeing reports that Son Heung-min from Tottenham maybe going to LAFC. Yeah. And, you know, people saying, you know, he's not quite what he was. Well, he was amazing, and his good is still better than a lot of people, yeah, right? So he's still 33 years old, has a lot to give. Thomas Müller from Bayern Munich.
Oh, my God, he's 33?
Sonny? Yeah. Yeah. Just crazy. Obviously won the trophy with Tottenham. So, he, you know, what he'll also bring to MLS in terms of fan and global excitement would be great. Thomas Müller from Bayern Munich, maybe signing with the Whitecaps. So these are still players who are bringing a lot of talent and are bringing like competitiveness and winning.
Changed in Miami.
Yeah.
So
100%. So now all that's left to discuss and what's coming up and what we're really excited about is the Leagues Cup, which is starting this Wednesday. Inter Miami kicking off against the first group stage match against Atlas. How are we feeling? How are we feeling about the tournament in general? Obviously, off of the heels of another, you know, big tournament that we obviously was the world tournament that took a lot out of everyone. But this is a tournament where I think you're seeing a lot of very strong Liga MX sides who have been investing a lot in their squads as well. We won 2 years ago, Messi's first season, in what was, you know, undescribable, amazing fashion. But I would still say, especially now with DePaul, Inter Miami are favorites and should make it far in the competition, and it should be really fun and exciting. And how are we feeling about this first match, about the group, and about the tournament?
The group doesn't seem too difficult. I was just taking a look at the teams that we'll be facing. So we'll be facing Atlas, Necaxa, and Pumas. So looking at what they're doing right now in the Liga MX in the Apertura, right now, mm-hmm, Necaxa is in seventh, Atlas is in ninth, and Pumas is in 15th, all out of 18 teams. So it doesn't, luckily through that first group stage, it doesn't look like we got any of the Mexican powerhouses from Liga MX. So that's a good sign. I think that Inter Miami, damn, if they made it out of the Club World Cup, like the group stage, there's no reason they should make it out against these teams unless something catastrophic happens. But, and then you add, I mean, DePaul wasn't initially in the roster for Leagues Cup, but there is a window where they can still add him. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him maybe make his debut against maybe in the first game coming up. So we'll have to see about that. But this team really should win it. There's nothing that can come to mind right now that would point that they shouldn't, honestly. They should win. And however you feel about Leagues Cup, they attached a nice little carrot to it. So if you win it, you make it directly to the round of 16 of the Champions Cup. So that's important. If you come in second or third, you also make it. You make it to the first round. So there are some implications to winning this tournament. So I think it's important for Inter Miami to, going into next season, I think the roster is going to even be better. I think that next season is a season of vindication. They'll come back and they need to win Champions Cup next year. And this is their way to get there. So
it's like the FA Cup or like the Super Copa, right? Like it's still important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked about the League's Cup in the past, I guess, like earlier in the season, where even though we didn't really see it as important as the CONCACAF Champions Cup or maybe Club World Cup or even MLS Cup. But I think now that we're not in those competitions anymore, I think now we start to, or I guess people start to open up a little bit more to the competition, not only for its implications, but just shows that that we could still be competitive against these Liga MX teams, and it'll set us up greatly for next year. I think winning this competition is definitely achievable, especially in the form that we've been in as of late. And I think the team is looking really, really good. And especially if we're facing against, like, with all the respect to these teams or these clubs, but we're facing like pretty mid Liga MX teams.
Right, right.
We should be at least very competitive against them. I think we should be playing very well against them. So
we have a shot for sure.
We definitely have a shot. We 1000% have a shot. And if we can win League's Cup twice in the same, you know, in the sea and still in the Messi era, I think that is a pretty huge achievement for this club. And if we can win League's Cup and go on to win MLS Cup, I think that'll be an amazing year for Inter Miami.
100% agree. So that first match will be Wednesday, 7:30 Eastern time. Yep. Make sure you're following us for coverage as always, where we'll be posting live about the game. Super excited for that. One final thing before we wrap up. A little surprising, I think, was that Inter Miami traded Leo Alfonso, or he was acquired by Atlanta, I believe, right?
That was so bothered by that.
do we have any, like, I mean, you know, we are obviously gaining Rodrigo De Paul. Not to say they were a related thing, but, you know, it's hard to be upset about the roster in that sense, but a surprising move. We'll see if it was, you know, implications of how they've had to kind of maneuver around, if it means we're getting someone else without, if we're expecting another attacker. Like, I know there was some stuff about Facundo Pellestri, former Manchester United forward. So we'll see. But yeah, it was just a little surprising. Always never a dull moment as an Inter Miami fan. That's for sure.
But this roster slot that we're getting, this is not for that ball, is it not? This is for somebody else.
It's for somebody else. Right. Okay. That they happened at the same time.
Right. Okay. So I think this is very exciting. I mean, like, yeah, it sucks for Leo Alfonso. I know he was a fan favorite pretty quickly last year when he first bursted onto the scene. I think probably the one memory that we have of Leo Alfonso is that last minute winner. Where he came off the bench, and I think it was away from home. I forget who the opposition was.
It was Philadelphia.
It was Philly.
We were down to nine.
When
nine
combined players. With Yannick Bright, which was even sicker.
That is our fate. That will forever be engraved, I think, in every Inter Miami's memory. And so we were definitely, I don't want to say have high hopes for him, but I definitely thought, or I think a lot of us thought, that he would at least be given more opportunities, maybe off the bench in certain games and maybe getting more play time. Now that he's 24, he's not like an 18-year-old kid, but I think this move is good for him because he wasn't essentially really in the plans for Mascherano, for Inter Miami. And now, like I said, being 24-ish years old, you kind of want to be a little bit more established, or just at least be getting a lot more, way more playing time than you are getting right now with Inter Miami. So hopefully that he will get that opportunity at Atlanta United. I wish him the best. And I feel like this is the first time ever of me following soccer that we're actually like paying for a player to leave. Like, I don't know if that makes any, like, we're paying Atlanta $225,000 to be like, here, you could take Leo Alfonso and we'll give you $200,000 on top of that.
What was his salary? What was Leo Alfonso's salary?
I think he was like the lowest paid player on the team. I don't know, but it wasn't a lot. So it's not like it's going to take anything out of our cap or anything. Like, it's not really going to do much, but we just get an international roster slot, which means somebody big is coming up And whether that's Belize 3, whether that's Mark Bartra, whether that's somebody else, I'm going to let Gian touch on that. Whoever it's going to be, hopefully it'll be a player that can really, that can just add even more firepower to this team.
I'm still trying to figure out what the heck Inter Miami is doing with that transaction. It makes no sense. I put it in ChatGPT to try to figure out what the hell they were trying to do. ChatGPT returned an error code. Like, it was like, I don't get it. So they traded. It first started with this. Inter Miami traded an international roster spot that they had already.
Yeah.
Away for $125,000, I believe was the figure.
I think so.
And then they get back an international roster spot for more money, $225,000 plus Leo Alfonso. And I can't figure it out. I have these like ideas of maybe what it could have been. One of them being, and these are like conspiracy theories until they're proven otherwise, but like,
yeah,
maybe they needed money for De Paul to buy him right down, to get him right underneath so he can be not be a DP, which really only $125,000. Like, are they that broke? But they sold it, and who is it that they sold it to? Do you remember?
I think it was the Timbers.
Yeah. So they sold it to the Timbers, and I think the Timbers knew that Inter was rushed to get this money. So they're like, yeah, we're not going to pay any more than this. And Inter said, right, whatever, just take it. We need the money. They got the money. And then they were like, okay, well, now we need the international roster spot back. Because whether it was for De Paul or whether it was for somebody else like Bartra or Pellestri or whatever, like, damn, we need that back. And now they knew that Inter Miami was in a bind.
This is so much. Yeah, like this.
And they knew that Inter Miami was in a bind, and Inter Miami was like, oh crap, yeah, we really need this back now. And then that's where they, because other than that, like, the math doesn't make sense. Like, and I know that these people are pretty good at math. They've done some pretty good maneuvering with contracts, so it can't be like really.
I just feel like Rodrigo De Paul happened. I genuinely don't think that when the season started, Inter Miami actually thought that they were getting Rodrigo De Paul in this window.
But like, do you think that transaction has something to do with kind of what I said?
What I'm saying. I'm saying I think that there were plans, and there still maybe are plans to bring in, you know, other players, and that they needed spots. But I don't think they expected in this window that they were going to get someone of such, you know, that was good, that they were going to have to do a lot of roster manipulation for, both in terms of roster spot, in terms of salary.
Yeah, because it has to be all that stuff. Because the math isn't mathing, so it has to be that. Definitely. If it's not that, then it's the worst trade I think I've ever seen in Inter Miami. if it's not
we'll see what it turns into, right? I feel like it's not closed yet.
It definitely is like a little more of a panic deal. Like, right. You could tell it's more of a panic deal, which is why it doesn't make any sense. But that's how eager in Miami are to getting things done.
Yeah. So
I'll take the people who are there. They are pushing. They are, you know, ambitious.
Yes.
Freedom to dream, and we're seeing it really like every day now. It's pretty awesome.
As far as Alfonso itself, that did kind of suck. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I genuinely thought Alfonso could do a lot of things to this team, especially like, it's just been a weird run, I think, for Inter Miami since they started trading away players. They traded away players that I didn't think they'd trade away or sell or do anything like that. First of all, it started with Facundo Farias early on, if you think about Inter Miami, they're really a team that's very centralized. They attack through the center channels. They don't have much going out on the wings. Chelo is not a guy that provides much on the attack as a wing or a speedy wing. Alba, he operates on the wing, but he's not the guy that gets the ball and is going to do something drastic down the wing, take a guy and then open up, kind of like how we used to see Facundo Farias do. Then we used to see Robert Taylor. How many times did we see Robert Taylor go down the line, break into the right, and just rifle a shot in? He just scored one, actually, just like that. I think this last MLS match that he had. So they got rid of him. So I'm like, okay, well, at least we have Alfonso. He's like the only one left that can be considered a winger that can open up space for himself. And then we got rid of him. And I'm like, we have maybe Fafa? No, but he doesn't even get minutes. So we really are thin to none at that spot where we have somebody that can come out and give us some a little bit of dynamism. Like, is that even a word?
Dynamism.
Yeah. On the left and right wing. So I thought that was strange, but hopefully for his career, I think that maybe this will open up some playing time for him because I think he deserves it. The few flashes that we saw were exciting for Leo.
Yeah.
I hope it means more Fafa too, because Saturday, you know, I still think he's a dynamic and explosive player, Fafa, and given the time, will continue to add value to this team. We'll see. But I think we'll wrap it up here for what was obviously a really exciting and filled show with so much topics, so much happening right now for Inter Miami, for Messi, new players, suspensions, bad boy. Like, you know, we're getting a little bit of everything. And we'll see Wednesday how the team lines up. Obviously, Messi and Alba will be back. Will we see Rodrigo De Paul there as well? And watch the rest of the season unfold. So make sure you're with us every step of the way by following us on all social media platforms at Messi & Co. on Twitter, /X, where we always are giving our breaking news, our thoughts, sometimes even doing live spaces when we want to talk about breaking news. We do live posts of matches, live content, post-match content, all that good stuff. And then YouTube, where you're watching us right now, 5 Reasons Football. We'll be doing live episodes. We'll be doing previews, post-match, etc. We have a lot of matches here that are coming up, that are continuing. We're now getting towards the back half of the season where it's every game is going to really matter. We're going for trophies. We're going for moments. And we're excited to do it with you. So for this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian. That is Matt. And we will see you next time.
See you guys.